Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Couldn't do me a wee favour, could you?
What is it this time, Mary? I'm just finished and I'm absolutely exhausted.
I've got an 8-hour shift coming up. I was wondering if you'd want it.
When is it?
Right now, love. Oh, I know. I hate to ask. It's just my daddy's in the hospital with gallstones, and I don't trust them to give me his kosher meals.
Oh, I didn't actually know you were Jewish.
Oh, aye. We're Catholic Jews.
I see. And how old is your dad?
113.
Right.
And you don't know how long you have them at that age?
Yeah.
Please, Callum.
Well, what do I always say, Mary? Apart from my time, my mental energy, and sometimes my literal money, it costs nothing to be kind.
Oh, you're a wee star, Callum Bray.
That's Fun Boys Series 2 starts tonight on BBC One at 10:55 p.m. James Dempsey is here with us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
Not exactly prime time viewing.
Yeah, right.
You'll need to be committed for this.
I'm actually only available on BBC One Northern Ireland in particular. It is
right.
Going out on BBC One, I think, over, like in the UK over on Saturday, and it's on BBC Three during the week. But it's a homegrown Northern Irish thing,
yeah.
And that's why it's getting the star treatment of 5 to 11,
yes, yes.
Right? Now, why would I put it top of the list? This is a really funny, I mean, I think that clip really encapsulates the show very well. It's a quirky, funny, odd little Northern Irish comedy that began, first of all, as a comedy sketch by this group of comedians. We heard Ryan Dillon there, he plays Callum, and Rian Lennon is Jordan, who we didn't hear in the clip there, but one of the two of the trio of main guys in the show, the third one being Leor James as Jordan. And they live in this fictional town of Ballymacnoose, and they are just friends going about their life and relationships, and not really an awful lot happens, and yet it is very funny at the same time. So it began as a sketch, and from that it became a short film. And then it won kind of some plaudits, and then it became this 4-episode series 1 that went out last year. And again, is starting with only 4 episodes for series 2. And they're only about 25 minutes each. So, there's not too much of it to consume. But I have to admit, once I attuned to its frequency, which didn't take very long, I found it absolutely hilarious. And at times, laugh out loud funny with just how odd and silly and funny it was, right? Now, it's kind of hard to describe it. Like,
yeah.
Basically, the trio of guys, Callum, Jordan, and the other one whose name I did not write down correctly because I wrote that down as Jordan, but the one with the long hair, Lorcan. They are this trio of guys, and they're kind of nerdy, but that's not really what it's about either. In the first episode, we learn that a huge part of their relationship to each other is that they sit around playing this online computer game. And then a girl, she is Gemma, played by Ellie McKenzie. She arrives and upsets the apple cart by being this extra presence in it.
Mm.
But it's also not really about that either. It's
yeah.
just sort of about the different kind of situations that they will find themselves in. In the opening episode tonight, it has probably the biggest guest star that they've pulled so far, in that they have Steve Coogan playing Philip Cantwell. Not the newsreader, right? but yeah, another one. He's playing, it takes place in a famine museum in Northern Ireland, and he's this like method actor taking the role of a landlord or land agent much too seriously and really aggressively playing the role against Callum. Now, I want to particularly say,
are they actors as
yeah,
well? Characters are actors.
Not even in this episode, yes, but
yeah.
otherwise they're just sort of going about, they're just nerdy guys going about doing whatever they want to do.
Okay,
right?
But do they have jobs or anything?
So, yes. So in the first series, Ryan Dillon's Callum works in a supermarket. That's who we heard in the clip there, where his colleague Mary wanted him to take on the full shift. in the second series, he's kind of between jobs and moving around, and he's trying to find a place to live ultimately. But he starts off with this role in a museum. But again, and I'm going to have to repeat myself here, that's not what it's really about. The show is kind of about the vibes in the friendship between these guys,
okay,
and their relationship to each other and how their friendship sort of intermingles. So Rian Lennon's Jordan is kind of the most self-sabotaging perhaps of the three of them. He lives with his two daddies, as he says, two fathers, who are these two older gay men in a relationship, and they get married in the first series. But again, it's not really what it's about. It's hard to put my finger on exactly what it is, and yet it is absolutely hilarious. I want to really credit Ryan Dillon as Callum. He is the most wonderful physical performer that I have ever seen. Like, it is worth seeking out the clip that I just pulled there of, you know, his colleague asking him to take a shift in the supermarket, just to see the sort of micro reactions he has as part of his performance. It just lends itself so wonderfully to the entire piece. It is a really odd show, but I want to champion it so much because I just think It reminds me, like, it's kind of trite to say it reminds me of Derry Girls just because it's a Northern Irish thing, but it's like if they blended Derry Girls with the Mighty Boosh and then threw in a bit of Nighty Night, the blackest black comedy I've ever seen in my life. It is edgy and risque at times. It is not about anything, and yet it is about male friendship and Irishness and kind of countryside culture and relationships and modern relationships. It's sort of timeless and set nowhere, and yet the place is kind of really valuable to it as well. It's really weird, but I loved it.
Yeah, okay. It's a sitcom about nothing, yes. Like in Seinfeld, really, that original concept that they had. Okay, that sounds, you've sold it well. Okay, our next show is Alice and Steve. You can stream all of the episodes now on Disney+. Here's a clip.
Hiya.
Does that mean that I'm in with the Chalmers too? You could do all three generations. How wonderfully French of you.
Lovely to see you again, Val.
Oh, afternoon. Oh.
I'm so, so sorry.
So thoughtful.
Right, there you go. I suppose the premise is interesting.
The premise is everything, right?
Yeah.
So Alice is played by Nicola Walker, who is like a long-standing feature of British TV shows, probably best known for her BAFTA-nominated role in Last Tango in Halifax. And then Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords is Steve. They are old, old friends. They dated for a little while and then have been friends for decades and decades and decades. And we meet them at another friend's funeral, and Steve is feeling sort of sad for himself. He's 4 years out of a divorce. His romantic life is going absolutely nowhere. And on a night out, with a little bit drug-fueled, Alice suggests that he find a younger woman that might reinvigorate his life and add new meaning to his life. Mm. And is then very shocked and surprised, as anyone would be, when he starts dating her 26-year-old daughter instead.
Okay.
Now, kind of the premise, that's the whole premise. But yet, if you begin to investigate that or think about it for even a second, it kind of falls apart under a weirdness, because obviously he has known this 26-year-old Izzy since the moment that she was born. And even there's what we heard in the clip there is an attempt at a dinner party to sort of set things, normalize things. But is it a trap set up by Alice? It's unclear. At which she brings up, you know, Woody Allen specifically in order to kind of poke the bear.
Mm.
Now, all in this is getting a huge advertising push from Disney+. You cannot but find ads for it absolutely everywhere online. But it promises to be this, you know, comedy about friends to enemies, as in, as soon as Alice makes this discovery, as soon as it is revealed to Alice what is going on, she becomes quite irate with Steve and begins this war in their friendship.
Yeah.
And if it had been more of that war, I would have enjoyed it an awful lot more, because instead we begin to follow subplots involving Alice's second partner, her husband, played by Joel Fry, Daniel, and his adventures with someone else. And then also a romantic subplot involving her son with Daniel and his classmate. And all of these sort of took away from the general vibe of the show, which is what happened if your best friend suddenly started going out with your daughter.
Mm.
It then builds towards this crescendo and perhaps the most bizarre ending of a TV show I have seen this year that you could not have possibly predicted if you were to spin a bingo wheel of, that's okay. Not a thing, but whatever.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily a strength that it came to this incredibly original ending, because it felt utterly unearned and bizarre and completely strange with the rest of the show. The first two episodes, pretty strong, and then downhill after that. That's kind of my impression of it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And like, Izzy, the 26-year-old, why is she going out with Steve? What's in it for her?
Yeah, I also feel like they didn't make quite a strong enough case for that. The kind of overarching storyline with her is that she has been doing a master's and had been going out with this Greek guy named Yanis, or Yanis or something, and he had dumped her rather unceremoniously. And she found, you know, that one night over a glass of wine with Steve, she found she was looking at him in an entirely different way. But then she kept looking at him that way.
Oh, yeah.
for a few episodes anyway, right? So like, all in, yeah.
Is he not fighting with her mother about this?
Of course,
as much
yes.
As,
yeah, oh, definitely,
there,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
Although her principal war is against Steve, you know, because yeah. I mean, that's what the plot calls for. It comes from a writer named Sophie Goodhart, whose biggest credit to date is writing on sex education. Kind of had an up and down run across its series, but mostly an enjoyable run. For me, kind of a nice idea of a premise that wasn't fleshed out as well as it could have been. And then the more you think about it, the less good the premise kind of is to begin with.
Okay, so yeah, the first two episodes and maybe after that, don't bother.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Yeah, all right, our third show is Tiptoe. You can stream all episodes now on Channel 4. Here's a clip.
Do you ever think it's coming back? All that from the 90s. We were despised, but you read the stuff online now, it sounds just the same.
Do I think it's coming back?
Yeah.
It's back, you idiot. Right now, it's here. It's a storm, it's a tide, it's a great big tsunami, and we're in the middle of it right now. Do I think it's coming back? Well, they tricked us, didn't they? They just waited. Oh, they let us all come out. So now we're standing in the open, ready for them to shoot us down.
You think that? Really?
And look at me, I'm as out and as proud as anything, but past couple of years, I'm a lot more careful.
You just started a great big row.
On Canal Street, home turf, but out there, I used to walk into a room and just go, ta-da! Now I tiptoe.
Does that clip kind of sum up what this is about? Or it's kind of philosophical outlook.
Yeah, it's definitely capturing the philosophical outlook, right? So this is a show from Russell T. Davies. And I have to start by saying, like, I have to recognise my personal biases here. I rarely like any of his TV shows,
okay,
right?
All right.
I am a rare person who didn't like It's a Sin at all. I thought it was completely over melodramatic and at times ridiculous. And again, I feel like, you know, I'm the Cassandra here looking at this going, this is not good. And people are going, this is so powerful. This is so good. And I'm going,
right,
what
okay.
are you talking about? Right. So first of all, the opening moments of the show do a Sunset Boulevard reveal of what's going to happen five episodes in. I'm not even going to touch what that is because I don't want to even broach spoiler territory. But the problem with that is you already know what the ending is,
yeah.
right? Prior to it actually happening. And then the issue is as we progress through the show and we begin to figure out how this is going to happen rather than what happened, the attempts to bring in light and shade of the characters are completely meaningless because we know exactly the direction that is going in. So this is a show with Alan Cumming playing Leo Struthers. He is a HIV positive bar owner in Canal Street, the gay borough of Manchester. And he lives next door to David Morrissey's Clive Goss, who is a right-wing, right-wing adjacent, let's say, Brexiteer slash homophobe in inverted commas. What could possibly go wrong, right? Yeah. And of course, Leo is this like openly proud, defiant, at times belligerent, you might say, character. And he ends up having to hire Clive as his electrician at the bar. And it's an increasingly series of bizarre events that lead towards this denouement that is so overdone to the nth degree of silliness, right? So I can't go into any of the spoilers. I wish I could, because I just want to like eviscerate the final episode, which makes absolutely no sense at all. It builds, it introduces an entirely whole new set of characters who are central to this event, who come from absolutely out of nowhere and have no relevance to the story except to suddenly arrive and be, you know, baddies, let's say, right? Also, the thing with Russell T Davies is, like, he was this iconoclastic, genre-defying writer in the 90s when he made Queer as Folk. And, that is an undeniable thing. Like, it was this, I've actually never even seen it, which is probably terrible on my part, but I understand it was this, like, game-changing piece of queer TV, right? But here we have, like, this show about his sensibilities, which are dyed in the wool, liberal gay stuff, running against Brexiteers, right? Like, there's this moment about the third episode where you're beginning to add a bit of humanity, quote unquote, to David Morrissey's baddie here, where like he's an electrician and he's been accused of bullying and he is a bully and he's being told off by his, you know, his former boss, and his boss is like, and you know what, my whole plan, my whole life was just to retire to a cottage, and I have done it, I saved up all my money, but now I can only go for 90 days because you voted for Brexit and it's in France, and I was ready to like stick a fork in the electric plug myself at this point, right? Like, it just was so silly and overdone. This kind of show, which is about homophobia and the effects of maybe like the online manosphere for older men, and how this might radicalize them into, into thinking a certain way. Like, it just is so hyperbolic. It doesn't really capture the insidious nature of maybe like everyday homophobia that would be a more realistic thing for Leo to encounter. You know, what ultimately befalls him in the last episode is so outrageously camp in its silliness. I thought the show, it underwrote the entire show. And yet, everywhere I have gone this week, people have been going, have you seen Tiptoe? It's so good. It's so powerful. It's
so I've heard that for a lot of people have said that, that end was just devastating. Oh, yeah.
What are they talking about? Like, the end was, like, not only does it end with ridiculous, completely overdone stuff, but then it follows with like postscripts of what happens to each character afterwards.
Yeah.
That become increasingly silly as well. Honestly, I thought this was absolute nonsense, but I also acknowledged I don't like Russell T Davies, and sometimes I can't escape that.
Okay, what is it about Russell T Davies or his work, more to the point, that you dislike?
I just find his writing really kind of, like, it's like an attempt to be so woke that it's just like,
it's too didactic. It's, you can see his,
Yes, exactly. I can see every, like, it just seems so overdone in every possible way. Like, there's a bit in the show where a younger character has this like queer night out, and it's supposed to be this like rite of passage. It's written by, you know, I'm assuming 50 something, 60 something year old man having a concept of what a 16 year old boy is going through, written by a 60 year old man, and then understanding how things might go viral on the internet the next day in the most ridiculous way as well. I just find it ridiculous, and I couldn't get over that.
Okay, I think not only were you not sitting on the fence, the fence is somewhere in the next county, I think, at this point. Those three shows are Fun Boys Series 2 starts tonight at BBC One at 10:55 p.m. Alice and Steve, you can stream all the episodes now on Disney Plus. And Tiptoe, you can stream all episodes now on Channel 4. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2:00. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.